Nenek.
Greetings, Flesh Wound Horror Freaks, and welcome to a brand new episode of Flesh Wound Horror. I am Daniel Shine, joined by producer Todd Loya.
What's up?
Pugs Dread.
Namaste. What's up?
And Mike Kruger.
What's up, you sick motherfuckers?
So we've got a lot of new reviews for you guys today. We got TV Terror Talk, so pretty meaty stuff, I think, today. So we'll jump right into it with our first film, and our which is new to VOD, out now. And this is Demonic, from director Neil Blomkamp, and from the director of District 9 and Elysium, a young woman unleashes terrifying demons when supernatural forces at the root of a decades-old rift between mother and daughter are revealed. Okay, so first feature film in 6 years from Neil Blomkamp. So
what was the last one? Elysium?
It was Chappie, I believe.
Chappie.
Oh,
yeah, the one that was very mixed for people. The Ant Word. Never know how to say their name, but
Diane Wood.
Yeah, he cast them, which I thought was kind of interesting as themselves.
I think you're freaky, and I like you a lot.
Yes, I like her. Shit. But Kruger, what did you think of Demonic?
Well, first off, I'll say I'm a big fan of Neil Blomkamp for District 9, and also he made he made some short film a few years back. I referenced it on our super deep review, because that movie reminded me a lot of a short film called Zygote with Dakota Fanning in it. So, like, I had some really high expectations for this, because first, District 9 has some amazing body horror in it, and like the short Zygote had an amazing practical creature in it. So I was like really, really hyped to see what he was going to do with this movie. So much so that I said, fuck it, I'm going to go see it in the theaters, because, you know, I think this is going to be pretty badass. Positives for this movie, I'll say, is the acting was pretty good. There isn't like really any weak areas, and the characters, you know, were pretty good too. You could definitely be sympathetic for our main character, Carly, definitely when you find out, you know, her backstory with her mom and what she's been through. Like, I was definitely rooting for her and her brother throughout the whole movie. And you know, when the movie starts and you learn about all that backstory, I thought that was pretty strong. Once we got into the medical, you know, weird dream realm portion of the movie, I wasn't too crazy about the visual effects. I don't know, the whole filter that they had over them just looked, it looked cheap. And, but then this really cool ass entity came into play, and it looked really like, I really liked the design for the demon creature thing that was there. And, I started like going, oh shit, this may turn out to be really good. And then the story takes like a whole nother turn that I didn't like even expect at all, and brings this whole other element into play. And I don't know, I felt like it didn't fucking work like at all. One thing I'll say is, like, you know, I already know going in that this movie had budgetary restrictions big time, but like, I felt like they kind of aimed really high for what they were going with the concept, and you just didn't have enough resources to pull everything off properly, because there was like a bunch of stuff that happened off screen that like I wanted to see. And when we got to that portion of the story, I'm like, you know, I'm waiting for the movie to pay off, and then all this shit happens off screen that, you know, I wanted to see. And it hurt my whole experience for me. And it just didn't make the journey feel worthwhile. Especially not, you know, paying a full price of a movie ticket either. So outside of having a cool entity and, you know, a couple of strong points in the story, overall, I didn't fucking like this thing really at all. I I can't recommend it honestly to anybody, and that's really disappointing because I love Neil Blomkamp, but this was a major fucking dud for me. And I was really, like, by the time I got out of the theater, I was really disappointed I made the decision to go see it and not pay the VOD price and just watch it at home.
What did you think, Pugs?
I pretty much co-signed everything Kruger said. I'll tell you this. When I first finished the movie, I was like, oh, that was pretty good. And then, as time goes on, I was like, that was kind of a dud. I didn't care for the demon. I thought his look, like, well, there's a certain scene where it became like a, like, not a drawing, but like a blueprint. I'm like, I just don't like what we're doing here. Neil, Mr. Blomkamp, you can do way better than this. I don't know what happened, because fucking Chappie's awesome. District 9's fucking incredible. I saw that movie like 4 or 5 times in the theater. Fucking, yeah. It was great. So I had high expectations too, and this was, I can't recommend paying full price for this movie. Maybe wait for streaming, and you're paying a price for that. But yeah, overall, this is a fucking dud. I'm really disappointed. I still want his Alien movie if he gets a chance. Because, I still have faith in the man. Just give him some money to do what he wants. Because it looked fucking cheap. That bothered the shit out of me.
Yeah, and I think it's that, like I said, he said that there was, some major budget issues with this movie, where they didn't get as much money as they were expecting. So, I mean, maybe that's what hurt it the most. Because, he is brilliant in other stuff. But, god damn, man.
Yeah, I didn't really care for it that much. So,
I'm with you guys because I'd mentioned to Pugs about going to see it versus seeing it at home. He's like, yeah, just see it at home. Which I followed his advice, and I'm with you guys. Yeah, I was really – it's funny because when she first got there and it was a little glitchy, I was like, is this stream fucking up?
I thought the same thing. What the fuck's wrong with my TV?
And not in a good way, like Christmas cruelty.
Yeah.
Shout out.
So 6 years since his last feature film, I could wait more than six if this is what he's got left in him at this point. I was a little disappointed that he didn't get his Alien movie too. He made this during the pandemic. That might factor into it a little bit, but this is actually surprisingly bad. The whole VR effects stuff, I don't know. Some people apparently thought that was a highlight. Like you guys, I thought it was just kind of cheap. And that's not even, we don't really spend a lot of time there either when it comes down to it. I mean, that's actually all very brief. It's also been done before, quite frankly. There was another film called Incarnate that dealt with similar themes that actually got a theatrical release, although nobody saw it. Yeah. I mean, this movie made me think, I could go watch The Cell. I could go watch any number of movies that had similar. The story grabbed me a little bit the first 15 minutes or so. I was like, oh, okay, this could be.
Yeah, there's an idea there.
Something interesting. I thought, just when they had maybe just a little bit of suspense going, they jump back and then to the physical world, and it just blunted it and had. I mean, I'm quite shocked that this is a Neil Blomkamp movie because I do enjoy. I thought District 9 was great. Would have loved to have seen a follow up to that.
I'm still waiting. I'm keeping hope alive there. I'm on District 10, District 12.
I could still see that happening. That's a very well-regarded movie, although, it's been a long time now. But there also felt like Kruger said, a lot was missing. The whole
priest.
The priest angle, I thought they could have had a lot more there. Just like, oh, that all just happened and we don't see it.
Well, and it just felt so thrown together, what I mean? Just that whole portion of the story, I was like, what the fuck? Seriously? That's where we're going? Okay. And then, what I was hoping for them to do, honestly? You remember We Are Still Here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, so, at the end of that fucking movie, they bring literally like about 15 people just into play real quick to get killed off like horribly and brutal ass deaths. And I thought that's where they were going to go. And they don't, because you don't see anything and you're like, what the fuck? Like, you know, I've been waiting for this goddamn movie to pay off for the last hour and fucking 10 minutes. And now I'm stuck with off-screen kills. Like, come on.
And it wasn't even just, I mean, I didn't necessarily have to have the gore, but it didn't even give me the emotional impact. Cause at the beginning I thought, you know, the mother daughter thing, especially, I mean, she was quite harsh to the mom. Even the, towards the end where you would think you'd have some kind of emotional impact, it lacks that. It's just all glossed.
I think because of where they went with the story too, like, you know, it kind of takes all the emotional investment you have in the main character away when you bring that part of the story together. So yeah, it was, man, like, trust me, I was so fucking pissed. I used my my one free ticket a month from my membership for this shit. I was like, god damn. And it's fucked up too, because like, then, well yeah, but I had to pay for my girl, so it's not fucking but like right before too, Ben Grimm on our Discord was like, yeah, I figure I'll just watch it on VOD. And I went into my whole spiel about why I want to see it in the theaters. And then I'm like, should have fucking listened to Ben Grimm. So
shout out Ben Grimm and fucking Neil Blomkamp. What the fuck?
Yes. Shout out Ben. So, Ben, we love you, Ben. You're on everything. We love you.
Man.
Yeah, and I thought the demon looked like a little slightly less rapey Marty Skrull. I didn't, you know, I wasn't that impressed with that either.
I mean, I liked it for what it was, but it needed to do more than what it did. Like, the whole reveal, you know, when it's got its finger and shit, and what it did with it, like, that was pretty cool. But then after that, that was the coolest scene in the whole fucking movie. It peaks at, like, 30 minutes in.
I think they should have changed the name of this movie, because with the name like Demonic, I'm expecting something demonic, and I did not really get that.
It was interesting enough at the beginning. I really thought we were building towards something interesting, and yeah, I mean, it was, even some of the writing wasn't very good. Some of the dialogue was really clunky.
Seems like when there was problems, so they just, we're not going to do this. Just ripping out 3 pages.
Or 6 years, like, all right, fuck it, I'll make this piece of shit.
We got finance, let's go. Which one? Right. I don't know. All right.
All right, well, I guess we can go ahead and rate it. What say you, Kruger?
This may be high, honestly, but I'll give it a 2 out of 5. Because like I said, I did like the entity and I like some parts of the story, but overall, skip this shit. Your time could be spent better watching, honestly, anything else.
Watch District 9 again. I am a 1.5 only because it's Neil Blomkamp and there was a spark of an idea there somewhere, but fucking wait for streaming or don't see it at all. That's what I say.
Yeah, I'm 1.5 also. I was going to save you curious. Wait for it to be on a streaming platform, not VOD.
Yeah.
I'm a 1. Don't see it on any platform for me. I even remember, and I like The Cell, but I could even recall like Stay Alive and Incarnate somewhat, which I don't think are great films, but even those at least had some moments.
Hey, real talk. Fucking don't watch this piece of shit. Go watch Zygote, the short film on fucking YouTube. That shit is awesome. I want a feature length of that. So Neil Blomkamp, if you're going to come back to horror, do that shit. But don't give us Demonic 2, for God's sake.
You won't be getting Demonic 2.
Let me drop a side note, little bombshell. When I first saw The Cell, I fucking hated it.
Oh, shit.
I thought it was I was about to drop a hard R. I thought it was dumb. But it was just my dumb little brain. Like, once I grew up and I saw it again, I was like, why did I not like this? This is fucking cool.
Are we talking about the J-Lo one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I have to watch it again because I'm still off the first viewing.
Okay, maybe because I hated it the first time, dude. But after like watching, I'm like, also, it's fucking Vincent D'Onofrio. How the fuck do I hate something with Vincent D'Onofrio? I'm dumb.
Yeah, I've only seen it once, and I really don't remember it.
It's worth revisit now with your like adult brain. It's fucking totally different.
He's his first movie was in Trauma is the first turn on.
There you go. Yes. We covered that, not.
He's also Marvel's best villain that they haven't used yet. His Kingpin is my favorite. So good.
Was he in the animated one too?
No. He was just in Daredevil.
Okay, that's right. I couldn't remember who did the voice in the Spider-Verse one.
He should have.
I don't think they wanted a Kingpin that was like cutting off heads and.
Well, it wouldn't matter if he's just doing the voice.
First off, Vincent D'Onofrio, in that scene you're talking about, just the rage he's hiding behind those eyes. Give this guy all the statues. That alone is fucking hard as shit. I love him. So good. Anyway, what's the next movie?
Chained for Vincent D'Onofrio. Great performance.
Oh, that movie fucking rules too.
Yeah. Jennifer Lynch. Yes, absolutely. That's a high recommendation, guys. All right, so moving on to our next film of the evening, which is from A24 and director, writer for the screen and director David Lowery, The Green Knight, which is a retelling of the poem Sir Gawain and the Green Knight.
Gawain.
I think you are technically right on that one, Kruger. I never say it right, but I know I'm supposed to say it right. So this is based on the poem.
Jalapeno.
I said he's right on this one. There's even movies that say it wrong.
Bro, the only reason I know is because of the fucking stupid video they put on the A24 thing. So don't feel bad.
That's okay. So yes, this follows King Arthur's reckless, headstrong nephew who embarks on a daring quest to confront the Green Knight, a gigantic emerald-skinned stranger and tester of men. All right. So, Kruger, what did you think of Green Knight?
So, visually, I'll say this movie is probably one of the most impressive things I've seen from A24, probably since like Midsummer and The Lighthouse. Like, man, fucking breathtaking cinematography, amazing shots. Like, holy shit. You need a 4K for this movie to, you know, watch it at home. So, I also thought the acting was, you know, really good all around. Dev Patel, who played Sir Gawain, like, absolutely fucking killed it in his performance. And I mean, man, he made for such like a likable, like, but flawed character. It was really cool with what they did with, you know, that character in general. And just so you know ahead of time, I'm not familiar with the like actual Sir Gawain and the Green Knight story. Everything going forward, I don't know how true it is to the source material, but I'll
talk about that after a little bit. Word. Yeah.
Okay. So like the story starts off like really interesting, but as time went on, I realized like, okay, this isn't really what I was expecting at all out of this movie. It's a much slower pace than I thought it would be. And because of that, I felt like some scenes were really drawn out and a little bit boring. This was probably not the best movie to go watch at midnight because like, you know, because honestly, like I was just expecting stuff to maybe be a little more action packed. And I mean, it has its moments, but it's not, you know, nearly the adventure I was expecting for Sir Gawain to go on. You know, I was hoping maybe he encountered some more mystical creatures or, you know, just a little bit more action. And we didn't really get much of that. But anytime the Green Knight came into play, like, I loved that character and I loved the practical effects they did on him. He looked fucking amazing, especially with the otherworldly contacts they gave him. Like, just brought a whole another element to that character that, you know, made him feel super mystical. And I thought that was really awesome. But when we get to, you know, the final confrontation between Sir Gawain and him, it left me a little bit disappointed. And I thought, you know, it was kind of lackluster. But, you know, visually and for the practical effects that are there, you know, it was really good. We got some nice beheadings, too, that, you know, kind of surprised me. And they were all practical, which was nice. But overall, like, I didn't love this movie. I did like a lot about it, but in the end, it's not what I was expecting, nor do I like, I can say I fully enjoyed it. I think I need to watch it again, to be honest with you, because by the, like I said, I saw it when it was in the theater at like midnight. So I was pretty fucking tired by the end of the movie because, you know, it was so slow paced. So I think I need to rewatch this, and I'll definitely be adding it to my collection because it's such a weird, like, the one thing I'll say about this movie, it's fucking really weird. Like, it has such a weird tone to it. And it's not really what you would expect, you know, from a medieval, what looked like adventure movie, at all. Like, it has a whole different tone. And, but I, and, you know, but I'll say if you're like really into artsy movies, this I think will definitely be up your alley.
What did you think, Pugs? I'm curious. I'm really haven't talked to you guys too much about this one yet.
No. Well, first off, this is a gorgeous fucking movie. Like, the scenes and visuals that are painted on the screen, holy shit. The Green Knight's fucking rad. He gave me fucking Swamp Thing vibes, so that's always going to find a fucking good place in my heart. But there is a part in the story where I got a little bored. I'm like, we're really going to hang with Patel this whole time? The fox is only so cute, and he can only do so much. And I loved him. it wasn't what I was expecting either. Like, not, don't go in thinking like Lord of the Rings and Game of Thrones, because you're not getting that. It's like on a maybe micro budget of that. excuse me. Yeah, I didn't love it, but I did like it a lot. But I'm telling you right now, if you just want to watch something pretty, this is a fucking movie. Acting wise, everyone did as best as they could with the material they were given. I'm not familiar or that familiar with the original tale or song, whatever the fuck it is originally. Oh, and I don't remember King Arthur having a brown relative, but that's cool. Good for you. I do think it's worth checking out. Full price, maybe not, but I support A24, and I still think they always deliver at least excellent looking movies.
And this is on premium VOD, yes.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth the premium price. I kind of want some of my money back, but it's okay.
Well, I was the one, well, not really like all about this one. I know Pugs and Dan in particular were super hyped for this. From the trailer, I got exactly what I was expecting I was going to get. It was like you said, it looks great. It's that I saw it, like I was falling asleep. Well, not falling. I was tired, so I was fighting a few times. It's just one that I know I'm one and done. It was cool, but I may give it another shot later, but it wasn't for me. And it's not my favorite A24 the movie yet of the year. Erwin Zola is my favorite. And typical I A24 think
Zola's better than this one too. Okay. Zola was really fucking good. 5 stars for me.
Did you need more mutated nutsacks, Todd?
No, that wouldn't have helped, Dan. I don't know what you're going for.
More giants. But,
and we have the typical A24 ending, which we'll talk about in spoilers.
That I didn't mind so much.
Nah. It's,
but like,
it's,
of course they did.
That's the point it's set now.
Well, we'll talk about ends, the though. End.
Yeah, okay. Spoilers.
Oh, we'll talk about the ending. It makes perfect sense.
I didn't say it didn't make sense. I'm just tired of the A24 ending.
All right. So, going into this, first off, if it's not obvious already, guys, this is not a summer blockbuster. This is not 300. This is not, you know.
Did you think it was going to be? I don't know.
No, I didn't. A lot of people apparently did, though.
Really?
There are a lot of people that.
Maybe I can see that.
Maybe they hadn't seen a lot of A24 movies and thought they were going to get, you know, Dungeons and Dragons and all that shit. So for me, This is definitely, if you're familiar with A24, what you would expect you would probably get. I think there was a lot of people that just thought they were getting a medieval special effects fantasy type flick. It's not. I fucking love this movie. I reveled in its atmosphere. And as anybody that's watched the show recently, there are so many blockbusters or even a lot of stuff I've watched on Netflix recently that just bores the shit out of me. Yes, there's a lot of effects and explosions, and but lately, I don't know, man. It's been hard to sit through some of those movies. This had my attention from beginning to end. There's a lot of differences between the poem. So I know there's some literature geeks out there that are, you know, not so much complaining about it, I guess, but, you know, pointing that out. There is...
Green Knight.
How do you...
Go ahead, Todd.
I was going to say, people got to get over that. Different mediums require different things. So the book will never be the same as the movie. Yeah. A poem in this case, or a TV show movie. Different mediums don't translate the same. You can't make the exact same thing. People need to realize that. That's why a comic book movie is not going to be just like a comic book. All the different mediums.
Yeah, and this is an ancient poem, but the headless lady, that is not a part of the original thing. The
question: how long is the original poem?
Oh God, I can't remember.
Is it short?
Yeah, I mean it's not long.
Headless lady. You were sorry.
The headless lady, not in it. The mugger, I guess we could call him that part.
He was one of my favorite parts, because that fucking kid from killing
him a sacred
dude? Yeah. Oh yeah, he's the shit. I love that fucker.
Yeah, I was happy to see that. I have no issues with any of the additions. They also, I won't bore everybody with all the differences on the book, but they gloss over the hunt portion and all of that. I have no issues with that. I don't know why anybody would, especially, you know, we're not talking about a book that's recent. There's a lot going on here that we're gonna, you know, talk more about in spoilers, but God damn, was I happy to just see a film that didn't just go that blockbuster route. You could have made this Lord of the Rings if you wanted to. And I'm so glad they didn't. I just, this film is beautiful from start to finish. Not to bring in a very different fantasy thing, but I would argue Game of Thrones, that a lot of people bitched about that ending. This ending, much like that, makes total sense to the story and the moral of this particular story. I like Dev Patel a lot. I've enjoyed him in pretty much everything I've seen him in.
He's great.
Yeah. Look, this is not an action film. In fact, there's basically no action in this. I mean,
a little bit.
Yeah, some heads roll, but for the most part, you're not.
There's no battles, no big battles.
Like I said, this is exactly what I expected, which is probably why I didn't like it. Like Game of Thrones, thought was very overrated. I don't like the Lord of the Rings movie. I know, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. I can fix that. It's no
Spartacus. Deathstalker is what I... Oh, okay.
You're right. Spartacus is a league of its fucking own. Kruger.
But yeah, so... And I like all kinds of fantasy stuff. I just referenced Deathstalker. I like the cheesy shit, too.
Well, yeah, that is different. I like that, but like... I don't like, I like low budget fan, like Corman stuff. Yeah, that's different. That's a totally different thing.
And also great supporting cast. Sean Harris, man, is King Arthur. Goddamn, was he good.
Alicia, the crown with the halo. That looked fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. The whole movie is just, I mean, fucking gorgeous. I want to double this up with The Lighthouse and just disappear into those films for
I love The Lighthouse.
The Lighthouse.
Yeah. That movie rules. I watched The Lighthouse and Midsummer over this any day of the week.
I'd watch Spring Breakers over this.
Alicia Vikander, never say her name right. She was great. Joel Edgerton was fantastic. Yeah, I love this.
There's some shit going on there. Is that in the poem? Do we have to spoilers say for more. That? Okay.
Kind of, yeah. Well, it depends what you're talking about. But yeah, a lot of the themes, too. This is a movie you may not get entirely the first time. Maybe you watch it twice. Maybe you read some articles on it, and you'll appreciate it even more. And there's not a lot of films lately, at least theatrically, that I can say that about. And hey, I really...
That you have to do research to enjoy? I don't like that in a movie.
No, but it's a... You may not get everything. It's not just... Like,
it's
here's
layered.
A good example
it's
of what
layered
I'm
is what you're trying to say.
Yeah. That Netflix movie we reviewed a while back, I can't even fucking remember the name or anything much about it. The Lena Headey was in it, ironically, from Game of Thrones.
I don't remember. I know the
name. I hate it even more the more I think about it. That thing was fucking stupid.
I don't remember which one it is.
The one with the
yeah,
girls.
Well, there you go. And we just reviewed it.
Gunpowder Milkshake?
Yeah,
I think that might have been it.
Why would you compare that to this?
What I'm saying is something completely like that, made by a factory that it just shit it out on a plate. I don't know. This was
your snobs
more.
Showing, Dan.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Very hard. Very hard.
I don't care. I'll
just hold. Hey, Dan, you got.
I bite my thumb at these
balls
there.
On your chin. Come on, move them.
I do. Luckily, Bloom didn't direct this. So.
Hey,
I would totally watch his version of this.
Oh, he would dumb the shit out of it.
Please!
The Fox would certainly.
Can we get Blumhouse to remake fucking Green Knight and Saint Maud? That'd be amazing for Dan.
Saint Maud, another layered movie, but I like that one. I just don't like the medieval.
Oh, I just want to see Dan fucking have a heart attack on.
I like this more than Saint Maud for sure.
I love Saint Maud, but. All right.
But imagine a Blumhouse remake for Dan. Amazing.
maybe it'll make people aware.
They can put it in.
I actually wouldn't mind it, to be honest. It'd suck, but they'll at least see the first one, which is underseen.
That's not what happens, though, Dan. You'd like to think that, but people don't say, oh, well, that sucked. Let me go watch the original. It doesn't happen as much as you think.
I will tell you, I know people that the worst of the worst example, and maybe even worse than Black Christmas. I'm not going to go back and check to.
What's worse than Black Christmas?
Martyrs.
No, that
was better.
That was pointless, but The Fog. The Fog.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's. Yeah.
I've never watched The Fog. Really.
You fucking dare.
Don't even out of curiosity.
Won't go back to check, but that might be even worse than Black. Or let's just say it just as bad.
No, The Fog is worse. The fog is literally worse.
But I know
it
a lot of people
three
back
fucking
then.
Sittings to get through. I fell asleep every time.
I know
every
a lot
time.
Of people
Hold
back
on, Dan.
Then.
That so, third, yeah. After the third time, I just started from where I left off. I'm like, I'm not doing this. So yeah. Go ahead, Dan. Yeah. Sorry.
No, I know a lot of people because that was unusually bad that did check out.
Yeah, but you know a majority of people that are into genre films. Like, I mean, an average person who just sees it or is not going to like, that sucked. Let me watch the original.
But they're aware of
that. I was talking more about that than like, if we watch the remake of something now, we're going to watch the original.
Where did this shit come from? I don't understand.
People so it's follow a lot of shit nowadays, so I don't know. They might. but anyways, I think we'll talk
Daniel
more about
Shine Pride. Night.
All right.
Yeah, let's rate this motherfucker then. Right?
Yeah, Kruger, you went for it. What say you?
I will say I'm a 3 out of 5 for now, but I think there's definitely some room to grow, and I'm gonna watch it again. I probably will have a way different opinion than I do already right now. What about you, Pugs?
Nice. I'm actually the exact same, except with a high recommendation of I think you should watch it, but know what you're getting into. Because, like, again, everything on screen is fucking gorgeous, and everyone does their job. It's just I think there's a part in there that I found kind of boring, and it took me out, and I came back in. So, yeah. 3 for me.
I'm actually on par with both of you, and I thought I liked at least. that's me rating it. Like, I know it wasn't for me, and I know it's a solid film.
But you also know it's gorgeous.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's just, you know, these are the types of films I get. Yeah, that aren't for me. But the medieval stuff, for some reason.
I love that shit. Here we go.
I'm a 4.5. I love this film.
I was expecting a 5, honestly.
Me too.
Well, even I'm not, I don't know, fantasy, it's hit or miss with me. But I do love this film. very, very much.
As I was watching it, I was like, Dan's going to love this.
Yeah.
My thought was Dan would and Kruger wouldn't, and he's kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I mean, like, my main thing is, I don't know, I went in thinking, maybe I'll see a dragon. You know what I mean? Or, like, some type of fucking, you know, and, like, we do get a couple of creatures, but nothing, like, that made me, like, super excited to see it, you know, on screen. Green Knight, though. That like I said, I can't emphasize that enough. The practical effect for him, like, was amazing. And contacts were fucking right on par.
They'll give the fox sword and armor and the Blum version. So you'll get all that. You'll get the dragons.
That fox fucking owns. And if he wants a sword, he can have one.
They'll make the dragons woke. It'll be fun. All right.
So. Karen haircuts.
Everything has to have Karen haircuts now. All right. So moving on to our next film.
You better just apologize now, Pugs.
I apologize. For that reason. I was thinking about making I don't even want to say it now. A George Floyd joke, but I'm not going to.
Well, thank you for not making that joke, Pugs.
No problem.
So we're going to be actually talking about both Don't Breathe films.
Because?
And I do apologize, Kruger.
Because Kruger's a huge fan. Pugs is like, not a fan, or maybe he is. He rewatched it, and I'd never seen it. And well, Dan's just Dan, so we figured it was a good one to tackle before we tackle the second. Well, no, I don't know. Dan doesn't have like a super hard like I love it, I hate it. He's seen it, and I think he's in the middle, so he doesn't have like right. Am I wrong?
Well, I won't spoil my.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying you didn't have. You weren't like those two.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, let's find out.
I never really like went out of my way to shit on it. It's just whenever he brought it up, I'm like,
yes, you have.
I was only teasing, but no, I never get it out of my way. If it brought up, I'm like, oh, I don't like it. And then the subject gets like, they're like, want to continue. I'm like, okay, well, here's why. So, I think Kruger should probably go first. So I don't fucking, start off on a bad foot, or should I go first? You tell me, Kruger.
I mean, I'm fine with whatever. Do we have a synopsis for this one?
Yeah,
Dan?
I did. Oh, yeah, I threw Dan off. Dan was about to, but I just wanted to give a little backstory on it.
Yeah. So the first film was Don't Breathe from 2016, director Fede Alvarez. And in this one, hoping to walk away with a massive fortune, a trio of thieves break into the house of a blind man who isn't as helpless as he seems. All right. Kruger, what did you think? Was this a first time
watch? No, I'm he just completely checked out when you were saying Colin, what you were saying, Robinson. Todd. It's okay. No, I'm a big fan of this one, Dan. So, like, I had watched this. I didn't watch it around when it first came out. I think I watched it maybe in, like, 2018 or something like that. And so it was a little – and I hadn't really heard anything about it, so I just went in completely blind. Yeah. And it really turned me, as a fan for this one. So, just, I'll start off by saying, I love the way this film is shot. There's some like night vision shots we get, and it's just like really fucking cool, scenes there, especially when the blind man's, you know, chasing after motherfuckers, and you know, you get these close-up shots of his wide out eyes. Looked really cool on the gray background night vision thing that they had going on. Also, the sound design for this film is fucking amazing, especially when it came to like the super tense scenes where people are trying to maneuver around the blind man, or he's trying to sense where they are. You know, the way the soundtrack would go, and just all the, you know, various sound effects were amazing. I love Stephen Lang to death, and his portrayal as the blind man is, you know, it's fucking always great to see. Also, Jane Levy, who played Mia in Evil Dead, is in this. And, you know, I love her to fucking death. Evil Dead, or I think Evil Dead's one of the best remakes, and she's a big reason why. So, you know, having her in this with Stephen Lang is just, you know, cherry on the top. I love the opening you know, shot when it comes to the story with the blind man dragging the chick down the street. And then we're like, all right, how do we get here? And, you know, and then once we get to the point where the home invasion's happening and the blind man just starts killing these robbers one by one. I mean, I just loved everything we got, especially with the tension, you know, when people are maneuvering around him or he's trying to sense them out. And the final act, man, I mean, that turkey baster. That's all I'm going to have to say about that. That's fucking that. I mean, it brings blind man to a pretty fucked up point. And just the turkey baster and what he was keeping in that basement. That was some fucking awesome shit. And I'll never forget watching the first time I watched this film and seeing, you know, the turkey baster scene, all that shit. It shocked the shit out of me. And I was not expecting it to go there. And, on the rewatch, still as effective, and I still love that shit. So overall, yeah, huge fan of this. I wouldn't say it's like a masterpiece or anything, but I love it for that fucked up final act, man. And like I said, Stephen Lang and Jane Levy, I'm in and a big fan for this, and was very, very excited to talk about this and the sequel that we're doing next. So,
right on. Well, for me, I do think Stephen Lang is fucking awesome. Like, there's no taking that away. However, I went in, like, before, if I was to rate this movie, it would have been a 2 out of 5 because I really didn't like it. Like, there's characters are not likable for me. Even Stephen Lang, like, you're breaking into someone's house, a handicapped person to begin with, a handicapped veteran, by the way. You deserve everything bad that happens to you. If they would have just been the last act, and it would have been Stephen Lang's story about what's going on down there, all about it. Because that part was cool.
You know, but what's funny, not to stop you, Pugs, but I think I might have agree with both of you in a weird way on this one. But keep going.
You're probably going to align more with Kruger. So, yeah, I would have rated it 2 out of 5. And I rewatched it because you're doing the second one. And then Kruger said, you'd like me to watch it just to make sure that either – you know, I've had some time away from it. All the hype died down. Cause that's also when I saw it. Yeah. That's also when I saw it. Everyone was sucking its dick and like, oh, this is the second coming of fucking horrible bum. And I saw, I'm like, this is it. All this for a fucking joke at the end. Cause that the baser had me dying. Like, this is fucking hilarious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, but on the second watch, before I rate it, the night vision, I didn't like it. I'm like, oh, this kind of dulls it out. The sound was awesome, but I'm like, the close-ups, kind of cool.
For me, like, I just thought that scene, like, it accentuated, like, what they were doing with the sound, you know, the sound effects and everything.
Yeah, I understand what they do, but I think they should have dulled it down a little more because, like, it's bright gray, and it looks like those, like, night vision audience reaction videos to this thing. So, like, that took me. I'm like, oh, this kind of whack, but whatever. Before again, I rate it the three.
We're not rating it yet, though. We still have to. Everyone has to go.
Okay, the three criminals. I hate them. One's a cuck. Ladybug is a manipulative bitch. Fuck her. And then Ricky Ricardo is just annoying as shit. Like, dude, I just can't.
He reminds me of Richard more. He does. That's who I picture every time I watch this fucking movie.
The pain scene, yeah, I get that. My favorite part of the whole movie is the fucking Rottweiler. That guy rules. Yeah, so for me, I actually like it less than I did before. So it's a no for me, dog. I gave it a shot, though. Yeah. But Stephen Lang is the man. It's just, I can't like anybody. And if Stephen Lang was just doing what he was doing, I think I could like him. But I don't know. We'll get into it in spoilers. But yeah, I still don't like Don't Breathe.
I get what Dan means, because I'm kind of with both of you also. Like, how do I? Dan, you go first. Let me formulate my
thoughts. Sure. No. All right. So I'm in the Kruger camp in that I do actually like the movie a lot. I agree with you. When I first watched it, as I was watching it, my thought was, these motherfuckers deserve everything that they're going to get. I mean, they're robbing a blind veteran, that served his country. I'm like, man, as far as I'm concerned, they broke in his house. He can do whatever the fuck.
Stand your ground, boy.
Now, obviously, there is a certain development later on. I'm dancing around spoilers. I'm assuming most people have seen the first one now. I don't need to spoil it, but where it's like, okay, that might be a little bit more fucked up. But even then, there is, you know, there is, you can see like, okay.
I understood why he did it.
Yeah, I understand why he did it. And, you know, yeah, hey, you might be going a little far there, but there's eyes for an eye sort of, you know.
Dude, some, you know, and the suspense in that scene with the scissors, oh. Yeah.
So I mean, really, when I was watching, I mean, I don't want to get like fucking comments on this. Yes, he's a broken guy who did some fucked up shit, but I didn't feel sorry for the criminals at all. As far as I'm concerned, it was like a home invasion movie. They were the villains. Yeah, fuck. I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry. So yeah. So I agree with you too, Bugs. I won't delve too much into the movie, the first one at least, because I'm sure we'll talk more about the second. I think it's very suspenseful. I had a good time with it. One issue that I think a lot of people have with these films is suspension of disbelief. How much could a guy that was blind do? This one, they're
I'm a Daredevil fan. It don't matter to me.
Well, and this one, they're on his turf the whole time, pretty much. So it's a little bit more justified.
Always remember, all film is fantasy. It's not reality.
Yeah,
true, but you know, when it takes place in the real world, there's certain things. Again, I don't want to segue into the second one right yet, but there's some conveniences. Not saying
anything, yes,
a lot of conveniences, but well, Todd, go ahead on this.
First time viewing, I kind of didn't know where I was going to land because a lot of times I agree with Pugs, a lot of times I agree with Krueger. But yeah, I kind of agree with both. Like I did really enjoy it, but, and as Dan mentioned, all the good guys are unlikable. They deserve everything they get.
They're not good guys. She's using that dude. Like, I mean, yeah, they try and make you feel bad for her because the mother's a crack.
That bitch ain't playing me.
But
so yeah, that was the only thing. And it kind of makes sense when we get into when we talk about the second one, because I know it's kind of weird. Why it's going to get spoiled anyway. But so overall, I think the main reason I just like wasn't all about this one was the hype. So I avoided it after I was so fucking disappointed with It Follows. I was like, this was like the next super hyped one after that.
It Follows.
I hate that one.
I was going to say Dan loves it.
It feels like Halloween to me.
Yeah, I keep saying,
Michael.
Yeah, I keep saying I'll give it a second watch, but I haven't done it yet. Maybe one day.
Maybe you might like it less.
Maybe I will. When It Follows 2 happens. So yeah. I think it's worth a watch.
Okay. So all shall right. we are we gonna well, rate we're gonna rate this one
yeah,
now, right?
Yeah, we'll rate.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, so I'm a 4.5 out of 5. I, you know, like I said, I really like this one a lot. And gave me one of the most iconic scenes I think that like stays in my head in recent memory. So, what about you, Pugs? You said you're like a 2, aren't you? Or worse?
I was a 2.
Trying to talk you up.
No, it went down a half point. I was like, I don't like anybody in this fucking movie. it just doesn't do anything for me. I want a half. Dan? Oh, before you rate it, I saw it after I went to a 98 Degrees concert, and I had the time of my life there.
You went to a 98 Degrees?
I sure as fuck did, but I went for O-Town, and I stood for 98 Degrees.
So I'm giving No Breathe a star back for that. I'm just
you can do whatever you want.
I don't know who O-Town is, so I don't know about that one. But
because you've never taken a woman there, Dan.
So I can see maybe some people, like you said, the hype train, but I still really like this movie. I think it's one of those ones maybe you watch the second time, but it's suspenseful as hell. It's fun. Yes, the characters are detestable, but I just look at it as that they're the villains.
Yeah,
for me. So I'm a 4. I like it a lot.
I do like it quite a bit. I'm a little lower. I'm a 3.5.
Okay.
It's well worth checking out. I'm not disappointed I watched it. And it made me look forward to the second one. Speaking of which, Dan.
Yeah, we'll get right into it. So Don't Breathe 2, which is from director Rodo Sayagas. And this sequel is set in the years following the initial deadly home invasion, where Norman Nordstrom lives in quiet solace until his past sins catch up to him. All right. So with this one from the trailer, it seemed like we were going to get a very different film, and we do. And I am very happy about that. The trailer, like, okay, this looks like more Death Wish. And that's what we get. I'm glad they didn't rush the sequel, which apparently they tried to, and I think they took their time. And this is fun. This movie's really fun. So before I delve into it, though, I'm just going to say this. How do we... There was such a perfect opportunity since we had Dean Ambrose in this that we could have Renee Young too. Because God
stole it. God, yes. All I could think of was, well, John Moxley.
Moxley, for, yeah.
Well, yeah, Moxley. I that I'm was showing what an AEW fan I am. Didn't hit dirty deeds
or indie fan.
Didn't hit dirty deeds on anybody. I was just, you know, they could have done that.
But. It took me out of the movie, I'll tell you right now, because all I could see was
makes sense because he's definitely done meth before.
He had the mannerisms, like everything about that guy. Who also, I will say, I great performance, actually. Brendan talk about manipulative. Yeah.
He was Russian Doll, the Netflix show with
Natasha Lyonne.
Yes, he's in that.
Yeah, yeah, fantastic actor. And so, yeah, this is like a Death Wish kind of revenge sort of thing. And I fucking love that. So that's perfect for me. And this moves the story. Because like I said, looking at the first one, and I know a couple people actually that were just livid that they would make him the quote unquote good guy. Again, it's a little more complicated than all that. But
I guess they've never seen Devil's Rejects then, right?
Well, they probably, these people would probably have an issue with that too, I would imagine. But again, as far as I'm concerned, he does something a little naughty in the first one, but he's basically the good guy in comparison to the three. Well, and the other one did. Nah, never mind. So in this one, you get to see him, man, there are a lot of conveniences as far as him being able to inflict the fucking ass whooping that he does on these guys. I didn't care.
He's a veteran.
And he is a SEAL, yes. But I didn't care. It didn't ruin the experience for me. I was able to enjoy this one. The look of the film, the characters were so scummy. One in particular, there's a shot, and if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about, but I'm being vague enough if you haven't, where a character is just coming into frame and there's some singing going on. I thought that was fucking brilliant. And another good performance by that actor. Just the look of this, it just felt like just the urban decay going on, which we see in the other one as well. Because I believe this was Detroit. Actually, yeah, I think it was Detroit. Yeah,
he's also Detroit. The only one that lives on that street, right? Like, well, every other house is vacant.
Which is not inaccurate. Some of those areas in Detroit, there are entire neighborhoods that are just fucking gone. So, yeah, there's some authenticity in that.
Or is it Jan?
I shouldn't say like all of Detroit in fairness, because I know Detroit gets shit on a lot. But yeah, there is
that character you just mentioned, who we're not mentioning, was also the lead in Nina Forever. I don't know if you remember that one.
Oh shit, and I do, and now I see it. That's awesome. So good. It's another weird one, like the last one. I understand anybody that's going to shit on it, but I'm in the love it camp. I had a blast through this whole thing. And in terms of gore too, this had some pretty painful and cool ways of fucking these guys up. But Krueger, what did you think? Did this live up to the first one for you?
Well, I'll say Stephen Lang's still cool. Still did a great job. The sound design for this movie, too, was really good, especially with the blind man using his senses to tell where the tweakers were. The direction the story took would have been okay with me, but everything seemed, like you already said, Dan, way too fucking convenient. And, I mean, to the point where it's smacking me in the face while I'm watching this. I'm like, why the fuck? You mean to tell me all these tweakers have these tracking skills? Get the fuck out of here. All right. The whole thing with the surgeon. See,
that I can believe.
Yeah. The whole thing with the surgeon guy, too, like, I don't know. It didn't really work well for me. Like, I understand, like, oh, yeah, you saw, you know, on the TV that this guy is there and he's going to come into play. But I don't know. It didn't work. And for at least for me, and the ending, I wasn't a fan of at all. It did honestly nothing for me, and I really wish we would have got something better. There are some decent kills, like you already said, though, so that was there to keep me satisfied. But for me, this wasn't nearly as good as the first film, and the direction of making the blind man, I think, you know, the hero action, you know, I mean, this, it felt more like an action movie at times than it did, you know. And like, so I don't know, that kind of hurt my overall experience. I still liked it, and you know, there's definitely spots in this movie that, you know, it shines, but I wish we would have got a better sequel. And I kind of want this franchise dead now, unless we're going to get a prequel of what he did before in the first movie. I'm fine with that and making him straight up villain again. But if there's some way that, you know, they decide to make a sequel again, I honestly don't want to see it. I'd rather see Stephen Lang doing some other shit in some other horror movies than watch the blind man, you know, run its course again. So I still liked it, but definitely disappointed me a lot. What about you, Todd?
Well, I know Pugs doesn't like, because he only likes Daredevil, so that's the only one that's okay.
Blind Fury, Rutger Hauer, we've had blind guy action films.
I know. No, see, I think I'm closer to Dan on this one so far, because I like that it feels like a Death Wish type film, and you know I also love those films. I have to call it out right now, because I'm shocked Kruger didn't mention it, because I thought immediately. There's the first shot in the very beginning with such shitty CGI.
Oh yeah, you were mentioning.
It drove me insane. And if you didn't notice, I'll tell you the shot because it's not going to ruin anything. Yeah. It's after certain characters crawling on the ground out of a burning house. And then it looks so bad. It like pulled me out because I was like, God damn it! I think the person next to me was like, "What the fuck is this problem?"
I forgot.
But it's so brief.
Other than that, and everyone's mentioned, like, yeah, he's blind. This shouldn't. How did he not fall in that? Just a bunch of shit. But I said earlier, it's film, not fantasy, or it's fantasy, not reality. So I was entertained enough. I was able to look over even the shitty CGI. I thought it was a good time. But I get what Kruger's saying, because this is more action than I'd say horror.
Mm-hmm. Gory.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but I like this one more than the first one.
What?
I like this one more than the first one.
Doesn't surprise me.
It gave me more. I still think there's really no one to like in these movies. Like there's no real fucking hero.
The girl?
I mean, okay, sure. But she doesn't really.
What did she do? God damn, Bugs.
Fine. The girl is, I guess. But she's fucking under 10. She can't really do anything.
God damn, Bugs.
You know what?
I would say her. She sassed him.
If she stayed with her parents, she would have been just as big a piece of shit.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny. There was a black parent in the audience that was like, oh, hell no, at a certain part. And that fucking added to my enjoyment for sure. Yeah, I think it's fun. Again, the dogs are the best part of these series. Such good animals. We need more of those. I don't mind the convenient part. Again, he's a veteran. He's trained. Sure. the I kind of wish they wouldn't have done that heel turn twice, but we can get in that in spoilers, because like it was obvious where it was going. I was like, and like Kruger, like, I don't need the fucking spoon to be lit up and fed to me. I can get it. So I thought it was fun. I liked it way more than the first one. I still don't love this franchise, and if it's done, cool. If it's not, I'm no longer gonna be sour on watching a new one, I guess.
Wouldn't it be the spoon lit up and stuck in you?
Oh, I didn't want to go full blown. But yeah.
Did you guys like the casting though? Because like I thought like all the heavies and everything, they all just looked the part. They looked scary. They looked nasty. The blonde dude who I thought was really good.
I did like the super glue thing. I'm like, I don't think that worked like that, but that's cool.
Oh, I think that would.
Didn't they do that on Jackass?
I don't think they sealed.
Not the mouth.
That'd just be the clam. Man, they got really out to themselves now.
The characters, like, even though they're different, they're still the same, like, motive. I can't say exact motivation. Like, the character types are still here, and that's why I can't really like anybody totally, completely. Like, I want to like Stephen Lang. I know he's, like, a bad dude, but, like, he's got psychological issues. He's also served his country, so I don't like, he gets a pass. But the guys that are hunting him down, I do not like. Even when the reveal happens, I don't like. Like, I just, I don't know. Everyone's a piece of shit in this movie.
We might be talking a different reveal, because, yeah, I was going to say, I don't think there's ever a point where I think I'm going to like.
I laughed. I was laughing before, even when the parents, like, oh, hell no. Anyway, I had fun with it. Shocking me.
Yeah, I did too.
All right, do we want to rate this?
Yeah, and real quick, I just want to say again, because I know I'm going to get shit from somebody. I'm not saying he's literally the good guy, but he is the good guy, Stephen Lang.
He's the fucking best character in the damn movie. I'll give him that.
He doesn't hurt anybody. You don't, Dan, you don't seriously wrong him.
Who are you worried about? Fuck these people.
Yeah, I mean, what do you care? I mean, this is a group of people who loved Freddy, Jason, you know, and all that stuff. They were all the bad guys.
They understand. Tell
you
that.
Yes. You know what? Stephen Lang is the good guy. If you have a problem with it, fuck you. He didn't do anything. There you go.
Well, I wouldn't say he's the good guy, but it's okay to like him.
I would.
Well, I'm rooting for him more than I'm rooting for the other motherfuckers.
I will even defend him in the first one, because honestly, like, well, when we get the spoiler wall, I'll be his lawyer.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, let's rate it then.
All right. I guess it went first. I'm a 4.
Okay.
I am a 3 out of 5. I really wanted to give it a 3.5 because I did like a lot of the kills and stuff, but just the story didn't warrant anything more than just a 3. So what about you, Pucks?
Real quick, because Kruger, you had made a point I forgot to mention. The surgeon guy, you could have cut some of that out. You didn't really have to foreshadow a lot of that. I don't think they needed it.
That's what he was talking about, you know, lighting, heating the spoon and feeding it to him. So
yeah, you could have lost almost all of that, really.
Yeah, I didn't need to see that he was a character that was on the TV before.
Yeah, you could add something like bodies or, you know.
Yeah, that bothered the hell out of me when it came into play. I was like, I'm already like kind of invested in this shit. I didn't fucking want this shit too. So 3 out of 5 for me, Pugs. What about you?
I like it a lot more than the first one, but I still don't like it like a lot. So it's a 2.5 for me. I recommend this one. So, Todd,
I'm a 4. I did like this one quite a bit. I think I go back and forth between a 3.5 and 4. I think I like this one a little bit better, so I'm going to give it a 4.
All right. We've established that Pugs hates the blind, so.
Oh, I love Daredevil. The blind are cool. They're not the problem. I think they're all handy capable. It's these pieces of shit that want to break in and steal shit. Fuck them. Anything that happens. And if you murder a family member, fuck them. Anything that happens to you.
All right. So,
did you rate? Yeah, you did rate.
Yeah, we did.
You're good.
So we'll move on to TV Terror Talk. And at this point, of course, we're.
And it's
spoiler
done.
Spoiler territory. Yes, the end of American Horror Story.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. We got no- oh, and then okay. This week, American Horror Story proper begins.
Double yeah, feature,
and,
they're
and
called.
We're
double
getting feature, a, yeah. And we're getting a season two for American Horror Stories.
I figured.
Cool, cool. All right. So our first episode tonight was episode 5 and Ball. And in this one, some familiar face, Billy Lord, is back in this one. And a wife does the unthinkable for a chance at a successful pregnancy. Okay, well, this one was weird. I didn't love it, but it's not bad. It's just one of those very middle of the road kind of stories. There's some twists and turns, I guess, but
I got a question, Dan, because I think you might be like, because I liked it, but I do feel it overstayed its welcome. Like it did a turn again one too many times. I would preferred that first twist and like just be done with it there. But then they go a little extra mile, which is cool.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh, the before this part, the story was better.
Dude, the line she gives the demon right before, like, I want you to give me another baby. Fuck yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, no, that.
See, and I like, understand, because if Billy Lord asked me that, I'd do the same thing.
Yeah.
You're a big Billy Lord guy.
That's Princess Leia's daughter. Yeah.
Yep.
I think I'd go with the mom on that one back in the day.
Take them both, even right now.
Oh, they get slimy. But yeah, this is just one of those stories. This is just one of these stories that I could take it or leave it. It was fine. I will probably forget about this completely in another week.
I would have thought you'd like this a little more. I mean, when like a demon and a pregnancy and
it's straightforward. The acting's fine.
Yeah.
It was just so standard though. Like so standard.
But we're also watching that one coming off of Bro House. So like for me, I'm like, yeah. Can't get any worse. And like, I was like, oh cool. We have a fucking, I love when pregnant women are in danger. That's just one of my things I like. And then we're fucking possible with a demon. I don't want to give away too. Are we spoiler free, right? Or spoilers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking, there's a demon in there. I'm like, this is amazing. I should love the shit out of this. And I liked it a lot. But I do wish they would have just stopped at, oh, I lied. It was all movies. You're in the nut house and I got all your money. I wish it would have ended there.
Billy Lord always has a resting bitch face to me. She's not like a bad actress, but I don't know how to describe it. I she didn't make me feel, I just didn't feel much at all.
Do you like her in Scream Queens? Because like that's definitely resting
she's
bitch face.
Awesome in Scream Queens.
Yeah.
With her fucking earmuffs.
She's right for specific things. I don't know how to describe it, but okay. I don't know. Did one of you just absolutely love this episode?
Me? I actually really, really loved this one a lot.
Yeah.
I felt for the couple at first, you know, obviously. When everything gets revealed, you know, the guy's a big piece of shit. And like that whole reveal, I mean, it really worked well for me. Like I thought, you know, and it made sense. And you know, I liked how they kind of played with the idea that, you know, maybe this shit is just all in her head. But then she actually summoned the fucking demon and it comes and destroys these motherfuckers in like completely awesome gory ass ways. I love the design of the demon. I thought he was fucking awesome. I thought the mom watching her basically go crazy. I don't know. I fell for her and like I thought how the shell she started to look towards the end, before she got locked up in the asylum, I thought was awesome. And yeah, the twist on the twist at the end with you know, the Billy, you know, her, the mom's character ended up being the one, you know, setting everything up and got the demon to, you know, come take this motherfucker out. And the demon's like, release me. And she's like, not till you give me another baby, and gets down and dirty with that motherfucker. I mean, anytime a girl's taking some demon dick, I'm in. So,
but we don't see any of it. You know how the twist couldn't get me, and you know why? The politics of the show. I was like, that guy's too nice. He's a white, straight character that he's got to be fucking evil. And I was right. I was just like, I know the politics of this show. There's no way he's not a piece of shit. And I don't know. Maybe that got me too.
See, but they didn't stop there. They went further and they, yeah. Cause I still like where it went. But again, I think if it would have just been like, I lied, haha, and she's in jail, I'm like, oh, that's fucked up.
Yeah. I didn't hate it. I didn't hate the episode. It's just, you know, this one was just forgettable for me.
Gotcha. Todd?
I kind of get where Dan's coming from. I did like it. I didn't love it. I loved Billy Lord in it. But it's one like I was struggling to remember what was this one about again? So, but what's also, weird?
If they sell those ball carvings, I want one.
Yet here's the thing, unfortunately, but I can remember everything about Bro House. So,
yeah. Oh, if we had I can't any forget more that Bro House.
That's a stain.
I would have been out.
It's a fucking.
But.
I'm still mad.
It didn't bother me as much as you guys, but I did not like it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't terrible. I thought it was okay.
No, this episode was awesome. I didn't like was
no, yeah, talking about Bro House. Like, I didn't absolutely hate it like you guys did because of the kills that we got at the end.
Yeah. It's too late to save it for me, but I get, that neck was fucking cool.
Man, yeah,
fuck that cast. Except Danny Trejo. You're cool.
All right. Well, we got a couple left. Let's see if it gets better. Yeah.
All right. So episode 6, we've got Feral, which follows a family who goes on a camping trip unaware of what is lurking in the woods. So we get, a familiar face, the Antichrist from Apocalypse. And here is the park ranger.
In his natural accent.
In his natural accent. And, well... So, surprise, surprise with this one. This was something that I wouldn't even necessarily have to have thought was connected to American Horror Story. It kind of feels like its own separate horror story, which is kind of the point for an anthology. Yeah, it's just standalone. I like that very much. I'm a big fan of... backwoods horror, and this felt like something out of a Jack Ketchum novel.
I was gonna say that too. Right on.
Yeah, it really did. And
woman.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, those are great books too. But is there anything terribly original? No. It's just a solid backwoods horror story that. I thought the ending was actually fairly powerful. It was a good ending. Again, seen it before, but it entertained me. What can I say? How about you guys?
Have you seen it in an hour though?
Huh?
Have you seen it in an hour time frame? Never mind.
Yes, I've seen this a lot, quite frankly. But I like this kind of horror.
I'm with Dan. I mean, I did enjoy it, but it was nothing that I haven't seen before. But it was different from the rest of the American Horror Stories, which most of them are standalone, Dan, other than the two. So
the three.
Yeah.
Three. You have to tell me the third one.
We haven't got there yet.
Well, that's one of the two I'm talking about.
Technically the first episode is a two-parter. I think.
It's
two separate episodes.
No, you're right. Yeah, I
So that's the shit that pissed me off too.
Half of this 7-episode season, I can't quite call this an anthology series exactly.
Well, you know what an anthology is? It's separate stories. It doesn't mean they're all original stories.
They did the Halloween thing. They went to Season of the Witch and then they went back to Michael.
It's like I said before with Freddy's Nightmares. They used to do the same thing. They go back to stories they've already tackled. So it's not unusual for an anthology. To retackle stuff they've already, talked about. But anyway, that's not what this is about. I did actually like this one. It's not my favorite of the series, but I think it's a strong entry.
It's predictable too, to be honest. Yeah. I like this one a lot more than the last one, but everything with the kid. Okay, yeah, that happened exactly as you'd expect it to. But some really cool looking, gnarly looking. Yeah. Well, I guess we can't call them creatures, but
feral people.
Yeah, mutants to a degree. Yeah.
Not necessarily mutants, but okay.
They're feral people.
Like, yeah. You know. Kruger, we never got your. We don't have your thoughts on like the woman in Spring. So I'm curious to know what you thought about this.
I love the woman like to death. I haven't watched the other two films in that trilogy though.
Spring, that's the best ones, you know.
It is. They're all awesome though. I like them.
Yeah, no, the woman I thought was fucking phenomenal. That's a homeboy that did the bug episode on Masters of Horror and May, right?
Lucky McKee.
Yeah, he's the shit. This one I actually liked a lot. I thought the horror of, you know, losing your kid while camping, like, Jesus Christ, like, I can only imagine. And then just watching how the family fell apart, I found all that, you know, kind of compelling. The hunter character that, you know, comes and tries to scam him, I thought was fucking hilarious. I kept laughing my ass off at shit he was saying. And like, you know, the whole imagery of, you know, that scene where they see all the bodies and then they start coming back to life, I thought that was really cool. And the actual designs of the feral people with like the different costumes and stuff, I thought were pretty awesome. So yeah, this was really good. This was probably my second favorite episode, if not maybe my favorite. But like, honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing like a feature length of something like this, just because, like, I mean, we get it, but I don't know. I still like fucking wild people, and it's, you know, they're not exact. These were a little bit different though. They kind of die and come back to life too. So, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, your typical, this is, you know, some Neanderthals in the middle of the forest type of deal.
Inbred
deluxe.
Cool. Yeah. No, I liked it a lot. I thought it was cool. They brought the piece of shit carpenter back to be the dad, but I don't think it was him, but that's the same actor. So I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I hope it's his backstory. But then by the end, I'm like, oh, that's not him. Damn. Cause I think that would have been cool. If they're going to fucking go back to Murder House anyway. No, I thought it was cool. I had no beef with it. I spent, 40-50 minutes with a story I liked, people I liked. I had a great time with it. I thought it was great. That's all.
And Lucky McKee, by the way, also co-writes a lot of Jack Ketchum's last stories, including the novel of The Woman. So, really good
stuff. I didn't know he did the novels, too. I know he did that, some of the adaptations.
He collaborated with Ketchum on three novels? Three, I believe, yeah. Nice. All well worth reading if you can get a hold of them.
All right, well, we got one left, the season finale, which we should mention, because, you know, thanks, Pugs, for reminding me. The new episodes of American Horror Story Season 10 debut tonight. So,
now, is it on...
Hulu won't be till tomorrow.
The next day. Okay.
Right. I'm pretty sure it'll go up at midnight or 9.
Yeah, and...
I gotta set my DVR. We'll forget.
The big issue... It's not really an issue, but you kind of have to watch this. You can't really watch this separate now. There's characters that, you know, Dylan McDermott in particular, and a lot of references to stuff that if you haven't watched all the rest of American Horror Story, this isn't like
standalone. I'm going to use this as a counter argument.
It's not standalone. Now, you're on the anthology. It's not standalone.
No. That's not it. You used to always tell me, you don't need to watch the old seasons. Just start the show now. You'd always tell me that.
Well, you did it, though.
What?
Once you get to a certain point, then it's completely...
You could still come in. They catch you up.
And that's what you kept telling me to do every season. I was like, oh, I didn't like Murder House, so I didn't watch any of the others. It's like, oh, you can just jump in now. They're all standalone, because that's an anthology series also, but a different kind.
Until it wasn't, but yeah.
What do you mean? American
Seasons...
Horror...
How far did you get on American?
I'm done. I've watched them all.
Seasons definitely start to...
But it's an anthology series, just like the other, because it's different seasons or each a different one. That's an anthology. What are the definition of anthology, just so we get it out of the way?
A public anthology.
I know, but I don't think you do.
Well, this one, yeah, you kind of do want a little.
They catch you up. They catch you up to Dylan McDermott's character in the first two episodes. Like, oh, that other psychiatrist is over here writing a book or whatever.
I will tell you like this. Remember when I rewatched the series? I didn't rewatch that because I didn't really like it. I watched that like fan edit that was just the movie, so I didn't get everything. But
I remember that.
So honestly, I want to watch that series now. But yeah, so I don't even know if I got everything. So,
You know enough.
Yeah.
So, who wants to go first? Dan, you already went.
The last episode was Game Over, episode 7. A couple dares to spend a night in one of the most infamous haunted houses, the Murder House. Go
Kruger with the hot tag.
Yeah, tag me in, because this fucking episode was a goddamn steaming pile of fucking shit. I was so fucking pissed off at this goddamn thing, man. All right, so we're going back to fucking Murder House again. You didn't already do that for the first two fucking episodes. You couldn't have think of something more fucking creative. No, we're going to use Murder House a fucking again, have complete obnoxious fucking characters I could not give a living fucking shit about. I hated the mom. I hated the fucking son. I hated fucking everybody. I couldn't stand the breaking of the fourth wall constantly. It didn't make any motherfucking sense to me. Like, so Murder House is a fake thing, but it's a real thing. Like, what the fuck? It didn't make any fucking sense to me. And I just wanted this goddamn shit to end. The only thing that was cool about this fucking episode was Piggy Man and Bloody Face and Choice D coming back for a few seconds. But then it goes, boom, that's a video game. Go fuck yourself. And I'm like, what the fuck are we doing here? And then, you know, the whole rest of the episode was just a fucking chore to get through. And by the end, I was just like, dude, I don't care. Let them all fucking die. Just make this fucking episode end so I can fucking watch something else. And this episode really has me rethinking my decisions to continue to watch this fucking series. because I was, that was fucking torture. And I fucking couldn't stand it.
Well, that's how I felt with Bro House, so I understand your pain. Because I'm not as passionate as for this one, but I do think this was like, this is pretty shitty. Because you're going to tease us with Bloody Face, Piggy Man, and Twisty. Just give us that. I will fucking.
Yeah.
I would love that. When the reveal of the game, I'm like, oh, this is dumb. This lady's dumb. Her kid is dumb. Her ex-husband's fucking dumb. The story's dumb. And you know, this is extra shitty. The highlight of the episode was this fucking overacting goth couple in the beginning. And I hated them too. I was like, I still think I would have much rather spend an hour with these assholes than what we got. Because it fucking sucked. I didn't care for it, but like I don't hate it like Kruger, because again, Bro House exists, so I can't. But if that didn't, I'd be on Kruger's page picketing right there with you, dude. This is poor Dylan McDermott decided to come back for this episode. I hope you got paid a lot, buddy. What about you guys?
For me, I will say that there was potential, because I did enjoy the couple, not the original couple. Those guys were, they were assholes, as Bug said, but I did enjoy kind of like that tragic romance with Ruby, and I'm forgetting the other girl's name. They would have been better focusing on that, because they do have their moments, but as Kruger said, it's like, oh, video game. Yeah.
Scarlet.
Great. It's this fuck Scarlet. Yeah. Sorry. I couldn't think of her name, but Scarlet and Ruby, like that might've been a perfect ending there. It's sad. Their backstories, I like those two characters a lot. And yeah, it gets so fucking dumb. And I like the mom. She was Ophelia on Fear the Walking Dead, and she's really good normally, but they do make her a fucking moron. Dude,
before I forget, fucking that line at the end. Love never dies. Go fuck yourself. Seriously. Oh my God. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Isn't that a tagline from something else anyway?
Yeah.
Several things.
Yeah.
Like probably 35 different fucking movies. Real fucking original.
Evil never dies. That's where it's at.
Oh, evil never dies is like, yeah. That's
motherfucker is Halloween. That's where I'm going for. Yeah.
I'm kind of closer to Dan because, like, I liked all the stuff that was continuing off the season premieres. But, and I think they should have focused on it. I'm probably in the minority here. I'm kind of bummed they ended it. They can go back to it now, but by getting rid of the house, we can't get more of that story with Scarlett and her.
We could. They're condos.
Yeah, I know, but that's not going to be as cool as the murder house.
If we're doing another season and it's going to be attached to another season, give me Asylum. I just want Asylum stories.
I like the idea of kind of like going back to the old world for a couple episodes. Like, say next time they bookend it with Asylum, then the next time they bookend it with 84. You know, if they did that, because this, I'm honest, this made me want to go back and like actually watch Murder House again from beginning to end.
Morbid curiosity, right?
It is. So.
And even just the whole thing, like the continuing story, Scarlet and Ruby, I thought they let that pedo in the previous episode off too easy. They killed him off screen. I was like,
yeah, that was bullshit.
What pedo? That's right.
That was my biggest
well,
issue.
He was with more that than pedo, but yeah.
That was my biggest issue with that fucking episode was like, okay, you have the most despicable character and you're about to kill him and you don't fucking show it. What the hell?
That's how this episode should have opened instead of with the fucking stupid goth couple.
Oh my god.
Yeah, skinning.
I mean, without that though, we wouldn't have got Twisty and Bloody Face on this.
You see, but, we still didn't get them because all they did was Jesus.
Fucking video. Dude, that needs to happen. Like, I just want to see those three just go to a house and fucking massacre a bunch of kids.
Please.
Or road movie. Somehow they get resurrected.
If we want to tie it into Murder House. That's cool. Just have it like the strangers, but they're dressed like these guys and have them be real and fuck each other. Fuck these people.
It's American Horror Story. They might fuck each other too.
That's fine too. Shit.
Well, on that note, do we have anything on this before we move to spoilers from the features earlier?
No.
Overall, I'm going to say thumbs down though.
Yeah. This shit sucked.
Dan's saying the whole series.
As a whole, I'm more thumbs down than thumbs up. I didn't think it was fantastic. Okay.
I think up on it.
I go up, man.
I think it's like 50-50 for me. Like there's some weak points for me big time in like the first two episodes and the last, but there are a couple I really, really like a lot. So
yeah, right. I'd be thumbs up for overall, like for the majority. Like, but
Yeah, I'm like
they shit the bed at the end.
Yeah, for big time.
I am a Murder House fan. I am an apologist. I think I like it more than anyone here. But like, this was just lame and lazy and dumb.
I like Murder House too. I mean, I'm an Asylum guy.
Much as me though.
Yeah, Asylum's the best.
Asylum, yeah, hands down.
I'm a Mark. I'm 84.
Yeah, I gotta watch that one. I probably love it.
I think you will. I want to watch it this year.
I still think you like Asylum more.
Really?
I do.
I mean, I did love Asylum. It was pretty badass.
Dude, they gave us everything. I fucking love
serial killers.
Yeah,
Asylum Freak Show Hotel.
First season, I was like, eh. But all right, Dan, do the spiel so we can go to spoilers.
All right, so guys, patreon.com/fleshwoundfeatures for original exclusive uncensored content. We have a big show coming up there that's going to be Patreon exclusive. You won't get to see it any other way. We also fleshwoundfeatures.com for all of our links, including our Teespring store, so you can get some merch from us. We are on Discord, Twitch, Horror Cartel, Flesh Wound Radio Facebook group, and Flesh Wound Radio on Twitter. I think I plugged it all.
All right. On that note, let's hit the spoiler warning.
All right. So what shall we tackle first, guys?
Well, what do we have? I don't know if we have spoilers for everything, but if we go backwards, shouldn't we do Don't Breathe too first?
Yeah.
How the fuck did he fall in that big fucking empty pool? That was my biggest thing at the end.
Right.
It echoes.
The one scene that kind of cracked me up like, because I was just like, yeah, movie logic is like when he's on the water and then like they just take like a tiny step and then he knows exactly where each fucking one of them are. I mean, like that was a little too much for me. My whole thing, dude, is just the whole, how are they going to track this dude down? Know where the, exactly where the fuck he is. Like, if it, because this was in a whole different area, wasn't it?
I think he revisited, or the little girl went back to the house with the candle thing, and he was there, and he's like, hey, I think that's my little
okay girl. Maybe that makes more sense to me, because I was like, how the fuck did they find this shit? Like, yeah, you know, that's blind man's fault. He shouldn't have fucking showed her where the fuck she was.
He's blind. But before we go too far, when it's revealed that the mom found her to get her heart, the fucking black lady, like, not too far from me. Oh, hell no. Dude, that was so good. Because I'm over here giggling. I'm like, oh, what a piece of shit parent that is. And a fucking loving parent over there. And also, she had 3 kids with her. And I am talking, like, under 10.
Hell yeah.
I was like, are you in the right theater?
Good parenting.
They won't be pussies, so
yeah.
Hey, it wasn't like Zola.
They were the best little kids ever. I was like, these guys are awesome. Good for you. her reaction though. Oh, hell no. All stereotypical black lady. Fucking awesome. Loved her.
Go ahead, Dan, say it. It's okay.
He didn't say anything bad.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. The one kill I actually did really like was the when he fucking, you know, grabs Tweaker Dad and is just like, you're gonna see what I see, and fucking jams his fingers to his brain. That was pretty fucking great. And just the whole line, like, that was in the trailer and I was waiting for it throughout the movie, because I was like, what are they gonna do? Is he gonna turn out all the lights and do it? Because that's what it looked like in the trailer. But that was a cool one line to, before you hit the finishing blow.
Somebody needed to edit that deathmatch exploding ring finish. It was they need to make a video.
I was upset when the Rottweiler was dealt with. At that point, I'm like, you gotta kill every one of them. Every last one of them. John Wick, always... these motherfuckers.
Hey.
And then he ditches his current dog. So fuck that guy, and the bald dude that was helping him, that guy gets a pass. You know what? He's the hero of the movie.
I wanted to see the new dog do more damage. I was like, man, I want to see him like rip somebody's face off. And yeah, because you kill a dog, hey, like I said, revenge movies are simple. Yeah, you know, they're really simple, and they work if you do basic things right. So yeah, you kill the dog. Yeah, I want to see you suffer as much as possible.
Okay. Stephen Lang lost his daughter, brain broke. I forgive him for kidnapping the lady. I think it was fair.
And he did. Look, it is sexual assault.
I do like his like, brain raper.
It's okay, well, Dan is white.
Traditionally, no.
Yeah, I mean, turkey baster. Yeah, I mean, dude, if you stick a turkey baster up some girl's fucking snatch with your fucking semen in it, that's rape.
Baby bottle.
I said it is, but there was a motivation behind it that was atypical, is what I'm saying.
And I thought that was fair. Again, I don't like the movie, but like his justification, like, he's a broken-hearted parent and he saw an opportunity to get a child back.
I mean, she got put out of her misery anyway, so it wasn't that bad, I guess. She didn't have to. She didn't have to carry her rapist baby. So, I mean, some people say death is better than that. So,
and he grew. He ended up getting a girl anyway, and he was a great dad. If this little bitch were to listen to him, would have been in trouble at all. So it's her fault. See, she's not a good character either.
No, she's a dumbass.
Yeah,
she never got to go her spy though. Yeah.
Her friend that drove the van, she's just a victim. That sucked. I felt bad for her. I'm like, he didn't need to fucking be nice to these people. But look what happened. Meth heads. Fuck them.
Dude, yeah, fuck, drugs are bad. Fucking PSA.
Okay.
Fucking.
And then, I was saying, like, the characters are kind of similar because we still have a cook doing what his lady is asking him to.
Yeah.
In the John Moxley with fucking Lena Headey on meth in a wheelchair. Oh, that pool thing, by the way, too, when she, by her hand, I was laughing. I'm like, I can't take this shit serious, but I did have fun with it, though.
Not Lena Headey, but she plays a great crack whore. That actress.
Lena Headey could do that, too. Have you seen the fucking Dread? Mama is the shit.
She did, yeah. But this, it's a capable cuck in this one, too, in fairness, unlike the other one.
That's because she's just like John Moxley.
And then the psycho thin dude with my little pony haircut, that guy annoyed the shit out of me. I'm like, this guy, fuck him.
You know what this movie could have used? Fariza Bulk. She would have played the part perfectly.
You're beautiful.
That would have been perfect casting for the crackhead lady.
Yeah, fuck, no,
you are correct, sir.
Too beautiful.
They could have
no makeup needed.
She should have been at the bottom of the pool. No, I spent just playing a skeleton, her normal self. No,
oh, I was gonna say, dude.
I thought I was like doing her fucking drunk.
Yeah, head, that would have worked too. That's better than just the laying down.
Oh, fuck.
Rest
me.
In peace, lady. We love you.
She's gorgeous. But I won't take the bait. She still is. You see her in one movie where she's not supposed to.
One movie.
See her in real life.
Bro, she's rough. She's looking rough.
But yes, I thought, and then the mother too, like that whole thing, like it did what a revenge movie should. Like you really want to see them fucking die. And it gives you everything. Again, tons of conveniences though. And I understand anybody that can't get past that, but yeah.
All right. Do we got any other spoilers?
I think Dan wanted to say something about Green Knight, right?
I don't know if I had anything else really on
you
that
said
one.
You're going to talk about
the hand job scene. We need to talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Actually, there was less for an A24 movie. I kind of expected it might have less nudity. Yeah, Tomb Raider hand job for sure.
Yeah, I'm tired of the fucking A24 ending. It's become like something I'm expecting now. Not that I didn't think the ending worked, but I'm just tired of, okay, and title card. It's like, it's become too, they've, like, five of their movies this year have had that.
The point, though, was like him, the whole, like, look at what, if point. He avoided his fate. And he accepted it. I thought it was a perfect ending. I don't know.
I'm just tired of A24. If these were sprinkled out between different studios, I'd be like, okay, wouldn't even register. But the fact we've had five A24s in a row do the exact same thing, it's a little too formulaic.
That's how you end an art house.
And didn't always do that. That's why I'm just like, I don't know. It feels like it's starting to become a crutch.
I don't think it was that ambiguous, really. I mean, it was a definitive ending.
That's not what you see.
Was an open ending.
That's not what you see.
I don't think all the endings are the same.
It doesn't matter, apparently.
You're right, Dan.
I don't know if you have much of a point, though. The endings are different. At least
you're right. You're right.
You're right.
All right, I am.
I have a question. Joel Edgerton. That's his name, right?
The actor, yeah.
Yeah. When he fucking made out with fucking Patel. What the fuck, like, were they going to do it?
Yeah, I was waiting for it.
Yeah, and it would have made all the sense in the world because, you know, it seemed right. And he's like, no. I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that there's a, well, for the American
Horror Story. Is it in the poem? That's what I'm asking.
No. There's a lot that's not. I mean, again.
Hand job?
No, there's no hand job.
I had to ask.
Like I said, I'd be curious to get like more thought, like if you watch it again. I don't know if you'll like it more or like it less, honestly. But there's a lot going on there with the,
I think I'll like
the
it
mom
more.
And yeah, for sure. Particularly the mom. There's a lot people don't pick up on, but
I'm willing to watch it again.
I think you liked Lighthouse more on the second.
Like Lighthouse, but I also, my thing with Lighthouse is I don't consider it really a horror film, but I love the Lighthouse.
That's my That's my favorite A24 film.
Yeah. They both have in common being fucking
that
hypnotic yeah, that, looking.
That probably, and then Midsommar is probably second.
Florida Project's my favorite. I just rewatched that too. If I had to pick genre, I'd probably still go Midsommar.
I think the if we did a poll of a lot of people, it would be Hereditary for most people.
I'm yeah. gonna say I was going back and forth between Hereditary and Midsommar, and like it's Hereditary by far. Yeah. Like I fucking love that shit.
It's more accessible.
The A24 Dans get mad if you bring up Midsommar now.
I love Midsommar.
They do. I'll send you some of the groups. They're pretty. Yeah. I use them to entertain me.
Are you talking people who dislike it or people?
No, like the A24 diehards, like don't like Mids. They get annoyed when you talk about it. They get like everyone talks about. Yeah, it's turned to. Yeah, they've extra danned out on it.
It's not that one. I mean, I would say mostly positive, but yeah, there are.
No, that one's split, man. Like, as far as just the horror community in general, that's like one of the most split movies I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, shit, though. I saw that. Well, fucking, I saw the director's cut, too. So I'm definitely.
Yeah, me too.
Midsommar fucking owns. I don't know. Fuck people. Anyway, any other spoilers?
Not for me, no.
No, unless we didn't have anything for.
Demonic? No.
No.
I didn't think so.
Other than fucking Neil Blomkamp, get your shit together, motherfucker.
Yeah. We expect more.
You're better than that.
Yeah, hands down. All right, then. Well, with that being said, gentlemen, let's get the fuck out of here.
All right.
Good night, and Iris loves you.
Todd?
I'll shine.
Stay sick, motherfuckers.
All right. Dan, you're right, and I'll see you in Disneyland.
Always.